Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome back. My name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, a podcast about TV and film. You're welcome if you like those kinds of things, because we're giving it to you.
Hard.
That's right. We talk about all kinds of stuff. You might have discovered us because we're doing a Star Wars marathon series. We've done Lord of the Rings. We've done Harry Potter. We've done Fast and Furious Stranger Things we're known for. That's right. Yellow Jackets, Lost, Last of Us, House of the Dragon.
Rings of Power.
A lot. But right now, this episode that you're listening to, we're talking about seemingly randomly the movie Legend from 1985, directed by Ridley Scott, starring Tom Cruise and Mia Sara. We're doing that because we have a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/streamingthings where certain patrons are able to demand, mandate, obligate that we talk about certain films. And they chose Legend. Who chose Legend?
Oh, my gosh. It was Lauren Weller.
Lauren Weller. I gotta say, which one is it?
I feel like it should be Lauren Waller, but in here it's written as Lauren Weller, so that might be a typo.
Like Amanda?
Lauren.
Waller?
Yeah, maybe. Lauren, we're watching Legend for you.
Or is it Lauren?
Oh, now I don't even know what reality is at this point.
We're watching it for you. Thank you for choosing it. Steve, I'm wondering what you think about this movie. That's what we always do. We go about our overall thoughts and do a scene by scene, play by play recap. But this time I'm jumping the gun a little bit.
Yeah, we haven't actually talked to each other off air about our like general vibes for this movie specifically.
No, I'm curious because I don't know where I'm at with this, because I saw some, I gotta say, obscene talk in the Discord. People were talking hella shit about this movie.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, Steve, huge sci-fi fan, there's some sci-fi elements to this fantasy, right? He also loves like puppets and shit.
Do love puppets.
I'm thinking Steve probably loves this movie, but also from the convo, I was like, maybe not. So I'm wondering where you're at.
Interesting.
What's your history with this film, and what was it like watching it this time?
I hold so much power right now. Okay. Legend. 1985. Director Ridley Scott. Starring Tom Cruise and Mia Sara. And Tim Curry. Can't blow past
Who?
Curry.
No.
This movie, I've never seen it before in my life.
Oh, wow.
I'd never seen it before. I knew of it vaguely. I knew of it enough to know that Tim Curry was the devil, mm-hmm. or as the
darkness.
Darkness.
His dad's the devil, I think.
The darkness. I never should have gave you bitches money. So I knew that. I had seen images.
Charlie Murphy.
call you darkness. I had seen images of Tim Curry's darkness. Mm-hmm. So that's all I kind of knew about it. And then when this was picked by Lauren, I kind of brought it up on IMDb just to kind of like, is that the one? Oh, Tom Cruise is in this. Interesting. Did not know that.
Thomas Mopatha the IV.
Oh, Ridley Scott is directing this. I did not know that. I love Ridley Scott. I think Ridley Scott is a wonderful director. He, not all of his movies I'm a huge fan of, but he has a lot of range because he can do like an epic sci-fi movie.
I'm about to make a video about that. I think he has the most range of any other director on earth.
Yeah. Like if you look at his directing filmography, it's like a lot of those movies have nothing to do with each other and theme, but genre, like scope.
Has a style that's recognizable for Ridley, like Body of Lies, Black Hawk Down, but then like Kingdom of Heaven, Gladiator, and then Blade Runner, and then Hannibal.
So I was very excited to see this because I like 80s movies. I like Ridley Scott. I love all those things. Sat down and watched it. First thing I sort of pick up on is, holy shit, I adore the production value of this movie. I think it is a gorgeous movie. I think the vistas are beautiful. I love the way they make the forest look. It's obviously like a forest that they built in like a stage. I think it was the Pinewood Studios, the old 007 studios. But the way it looks real, but also like fake at the same time, in a really cool, that I think lends its way into this is a fantasy story. I think that works so well. I think the puppets and shit look amazing. I think the makeup on Tim Curry is incredibly impressive. And however, that's kind of where my love for the movie stops. Aesthetically, it is so far up my alley.
How far?
Like it has permanent residence. Balls deep in my alley, yeah. But in terms of story, acting, pacing, editing, all that stuff, I think it falls short on all those levels. It's a movie that I feel like had very large aspirations and it doesn't quite meet them.
How large?
Balls deep large. But, and it's a shame because I kind of had this realization, right? Because when I watch this movie, I can so fucking tell that Ridley Scott just made Blade Runner, like right before this.
He loves unicorns at this time in his life.
Oh yeah. He's like, is this a unicorn? Put it in. But just the way the camera moves or the stuff, the editing style, like you can tell like this is made just right after Blade Runner. I feel it so much. Mm-hmm. I kind of had this moment of realization where, you know, Blade Runner is one of my favorite movies of all time. But if I show it today to someone who's never seen it before, I could always kind of see this sort of eyes glazed over. Like, I mean, yeah, that looks cool, but what the fuck am I watching sort of look? So I was kind of like, oh, is this what watching Blade Runner the first time with me is like? Is me watching Legend for the first time right now? Which was kind of a sad thought. But so I don't really, like, the story is kind of incomprehensible. I think audio-wise, this movie is torture because so many people are ADR'd in very unpleasing ways. I don't understand why, like, they use the same person who voices Blix to also voice the 80-yard Gump. It's very obvious and very weird that they would do that. It made me think, like, wait, are they supposed to be the same characters that got transformed into good things after the darkness took over? Mm-hmm. I'm a little confused now. And after I watched the movie, I did research on it and I realized, oh, it's a Ridley Scott movie. Of course, there's like five different cuts of this. There's a US cut, a European cut, a director's cut, and the director's cut is like an hour longer than the one I just watched. So it probably fills in a lot of gaps I have in the story. But as it stands, we watched the US theatrical cut, which is what you see when you rent on Apple TV, which is how we both watched it, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that you can, like the European cut is different in how the American cut is. I feel like I would have preferred the European cut just based off my little bit of research into what's different. It seems like the European cut is much more directed on story, whereas the American cut is more directed on sex and action, if you can believe that. But overall, I feel like the movie is not great, but I have, and I struggle to say that because, like I said, I do have so much admiration and respect and love for the way they made this world. It, like, I mean, the scene where what's the goblin's name? Blix. When Blix cuts the horn off the unicorn and like the pink petals are blowing and the storm's getting kicked up. That shit's fucking gorgeous. And I love it so much. I love the way the darkness's little like area that he lives in. I don't know if you call that a castle. It looks just like a mountain that he lives on. Like that looks so awesome. It's so much up my alley, but for the storyline wise, it's just a failure, I think, mm-hmm. overall. What are your thoughts?
I was reading your guys' notes about the audio and stuff in Discord, and I saw Alex shitting on it, and you know, I was like kind of confused because I love this movie. I understand it's not for everybody.
Oh, you do love it?
I do.
Hell yeah, my guy.
I do. I think this movie is a vibe.
Sure.
So I think, which is essentially what you said, but that's where my analysis stops. I'm not even, maybe I'm cheating, but I'm not worried about a lot of stuff. I don't think the plot's incomprehensible. I think if anything, it's just overly simple and nothing but fantasy tropes. But it's just such a vibe. Tim Curry is
he's a master amazing.
In this movie.
Yeah.
Then, like you said, the makeup's incredible. Tom Cruise is a big old barrel of fine to me. I spent the whole time wondering if he got his teeth worked on after this movie, and I think it's verifiable that he did. But at the same time, I do think it works. I can see where there'd be like 13 different cuts, different music choices and things like that. But I just get enveloped by the vibe of it all. And it's fascinating to me, this Ridley Scott, like we were talking about what the kind of director that he is. He does some TV stuff and early stuff. I've never seen The Duelists, but he does Alien in 1979 and then Blade Runner in 1982. And they're like, then that flopped hard because the world was just not ready for that movie.
Yeah.
And then he comes out
also with the theatrical cut of Blade Runner is not great.
It is not at all.
Yeah.
and so then he comes out with Legend in 1985, a year after they did Neverending Story. So I can see some studio involvement here of maybe like, yeah, they like that. The nerds love it.
They love that puppet shit.
But this is after Conan. But this is before Willow. This is before Labyrinth. You know what I'm saying? Like this is heavy, influential shit. Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people, I think people look at this and say, "Oh, it's just a hodgepodge of copying a bunch of better movies." But it's like this is before most of them, bitch. I love it. I think it's a good vibe. Mm-hmm.
And I think I agree with that completely. Like the vibe of the movie is very, very great. I just, so I was doing in my research, there's a YouTube channel called, Movie Oubliette, and they have a really great video that kind of breaks down the differences between the American cut and the European cut and why they're different. And there's this quote where, Ridley Scott is like basically just shitting on American people. He's like, Europeans theatergoers have a much better appreciation for story and nuance, whereas Americans just want action, pew pew fights.
Mm, sure.
And he's not wrong, especially at that time. But
have you seen Action USA, Ridley?
Oh, it's amazing. But a couple of the things that I thought that stuck out is like the American scene has like a whole ass action scene. You know those like towards the end of the movie when Gump and Tom Cruise, Jack, is being chased by these things that are just busting out of the wall or the floor. They like serve no purpose other than like, ah, we're going to get you. And they run away from him. Like that's not in the European
the ones
cut.
Where they attack Gump and he's just like,
yeah.
Yes, they have, like cat fight.
And then the beginning when Lily goes into the forest, she's like, I got to go into the forest and immediately starts making out with Tom Cruise mm-hmm. to make it seem like I go to the woods, get dicked on every day. Mm-hmm. Here I go. That scene of them kissing is actually supposed to be at the end of the movie, and he kisses her in order to break the curse, as it were, like as all fairy tales do.
Yeah.
But they inserted that in the beginning of the movie, and they actually reversed the shot of her waking up so it looks like she's getting up to kiss him, but actually it's the other way around. So she kisses him and falls down like, oh, that was a great kiss, but really it's reversed where she's supposed to be waking up from being kissed. Uh-huh. It's just kind of a fun little like, it's just weird because I guess they showed the full length movie in a test audience and the test audience did not go well. Like they hated the movie, a lot of it. So they just kind of chopped up so much of it and spat out these two different versions that are much shorter than, again, I would love to. I would
love to see the long one. Yeah.
I really want to see the director's
Ridley
cut
Scott
now.
Has a tendency for his movies to get fucked with for some reason.
Yeah.
And the director's cut to be a fucking masterpiece and the theatrical cut to be a shit show. At right. least it happened with Blade Runner and it happened again with
Kingdom of Heaven. Yeah.
But then also Napoleon is dog shit. And he said that there's a 4-hour version of the movie that I bet fucking rocks. You know what I mean?
I haven't seen Napoleon. I would love to see that.
I would just wait.
Okay. Wait for the 4-hour cut.
I mean, honestly.
Okay.
Because right. you can tell as an editor, you'll watch it and be like, why'd they take that hole? I can tell there's 6 scenes they'd removed that would make this make more sense. And that pisses me off because that's what happens. He's just now he's in Africa.
Well, even watching this movie, you can tell like they chop this up. Like there's towards the beginning when he's got the like glow in the dark neon green eyes and like the neon green fingernails. But when he goes to like touch Blix's forehead, his nails not neon green. Like it just reeks of like they've cobbled together something out of stuff that wasn't originally supposed to be together.
But I like to just live in the booty shorts, Tom Cruise with the armor. And the Tim Curry with that ridiculously amazing makeup, chewing scenery, and the whole, like, I want to rule the world and take over and just drench everyone in darkness for eternity. But I have a crush on a girl, Daddy. Like, I love it.
I love the opening bit where he's like, I'm really lonely and I'm emo. I really want to take over the world and have someone marry me.
Blix, play that song I like. Tonight will be the night that I will fall for you.
Oh, yes.
Over again. Yeah.
Dude, the makeup for his darkness sounds like an absolute nightmare to go through.
Was he sitting in the chair for 12 hours or something?
Well, I'm going to read. So this is an excerpt from IMDb that I copied. I'm just going to read the whole ass thing to you just because it sounds fucking awful. So Tim Curry had to wear a large bull-like structure atop his head with 3-foot fiberglass horns supported by a harness underneath the makeup. Mm-hmm. So he's got a harness on top of the makeup that he's wearing. The horns strained the back of Curry's neck because they extended forward and not straight up. Rob Botten and his crew finally came up with horns that were hollow and lightweight. At the end of each filming day, Curry had to spend an hour in a bath in order to liquefy the soluble spirit gum that served as the adhesive. At one point, he got too impatient and claustrophobic that he pulled the makeup off too quickly, tearing off his own skin in the process. Ridley Scott felt both horrified and sorry for Curry and immediately tried to find an easier way to make up his character, since he didn't want Curry to put more makeup on his torn skin, he shot around him for weeks. So, like,
let him heal.
Yeah. Which sounds awful.
Movies are crazy, man.
Yeah, I know. I mean, doing all the research for this movie, it sounded like this movie was also just kind of hampered, not only with like the studio interference, but just a lot of really unfortunate shit happening. Like, we mentioned the forest is in that Pinewood Studios. Mm-hmm. That burnt down 16 weeks into production.
Jesus.
So they were just like, okay, well, we lost our sets. So I guess we'll just have to figure that out. So that's why some sets look vastly different than others in this movie. It's because it literally burnt down.
That's wild.
Yeah. It's, I think Tom Cruise's father passed away during the filming of this movie. So like
Mopather the third.
Oh, is he the fourth?
Yeah.
So yeah. Mopather the third passed away while this was being made. So they had to, they literally shut down production twice on this movie. Once for the fire, once because their lead, yeah, had to leave.
And Mia Sara, who plays, what is her name? Does it matter?
Lily.
Lily, that's right. Lily, named after Lilith, Satan's wife, I imagine. She was 16 years old while shooting this movie. And then I think Ferris Bueller's Day Off, probably her most famous role, came out the next year. Is in 86.
Oh, okay.
I think. So that's fascinating. And then she really didn't do much after this. I mean, she's in some stuff. Nothing I've ever seen, because there's Legend and Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and that's pretty much it, which is weird to me because she's so young, and I thought she could have been a huge star throughout the 90s. And she was in Time Cop with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Hell yeah.
And that's pretty much it, which did like really good money. But do you know who she's married to? I thought you would be pleased by this. It's a double Steve whammy. In 1996, she marries Jason Connery, son of Sean Connery.
Ooh.
She has a child. She has a child with him. And then they divorce in 2002. And then in 2010, her husband to this day, she marries Brian Henson. Son.
Wow, really?
Of Jim Henson.
Wow.
The puppet guy.
You go from a James Bond child to the puppet guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she married up, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. That's right. And I thought you'd be pleased with that because you love the Hensons.
Good for her.
Yeah. So, known professionally as Mia Sara, her real name is Sara Bacella.
How often do you think she's woken up by Brian Henson? Like, hello, Sara, we need to go to work.
Does Brian do the voices that Jim did, you think?
I'm pretty sure he did, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's still like full-on owner and operator of that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's why she's not in a ton of stuff either. Is like, she's pretty much...
She's living off that Muppets money.
She's been married to wealthy people for the entire time she's been also working. But I don't know. I just think it's interesting because I think she's very talented.
Yeah, she's great in this movie.
And she has a great screen presence. And I'm going to watch some of the more, to me, lesser known movies that she did after this because I'm fascinated. But yeah, all that is to say, a huge intro for, I really like this movie. Fuck you guys.
Again, I don't hate this movie. I actually like really want to love it. There are things about it that keep me from there. I think I rated it a 2.5 star on Letterboxd, mm-hmm. which, you know me, that's like,
I gave it the Big Dick 4. Score.
The Big Dick 4?
Yeah. Dude. Somebody commented, he gets it. And I thought, I do.
Honestly, I respect the fuck out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I had the courage, the bravery to do that myself.
Why would you do something so controversial yet so brave? So the movie opens with what looks like the motherfucking devil, but is actually darkness, who I believe we're supposed to understand is the devil's son.
It opens with the longest fucking text crawl in cinematic history.
That's another thing.
It just kept going.
It's a lot of backstory. It's a Star Wars kind of thing, but you don't need it because it's really simple, actually.
Yeah.
Like Jack, who's pure of heart. And it like says the whole theme of the movie and everything. And then I bet that's another American cut thing where they're like,
it is,
we don't get it.
Yeah, it is.
But also you don't need that. Like I would have liked to have seen a lot of that stuff. Like as like in a Lord of the Rings kind of way, you know,
get that little prologue.
Yeah. Like get Cate Blanchett.
I want to see the darkness retreating to the shadows of the earth, plotting his return.
Yeah.
I want to see only the purest mortals. Like Jack doing a little thing in the woods.
Like, was James Earl Jones busy this day and you couldn't get a narrator and like shoot some shots?
The struggle to maintain this balance comes the birth of legends.
I was in Conan and Star Wars and Sandlot soon. I'm working on it. I'm a blind guy.
I was also in Dr. Strangelove. Did you know that?
I knew the babe.
The great Bambino?
Yeah.
It's a solid James Earl Jones.
I'm warming up to it. Fucking unicorn.
And shit, I don't know.
Yeah, any hoozle. So it opens up with that shit, and then the motherfucking devil. Hell is crazy, but it's not even hell. It's just like literally 6 feet under a tree nearby, and they're just going hammer time down there.
Yeah, they're like cutting that one dude up.
Dude is just like getting stabbed with a machete over and over. And I was like, this is before, like this is right when PG became a thing and they didn't know what to do with it.
Because that's a visceral shot. Yeah, it's like, Jesus Christ.
Blix is like the meanest goblin. He's his favorite. He's the shittiest of the shits.
I don't want your job at all. How do you find a unicorn, my lord?
Yeah, bring me the fucking unicorns. It's just now occurred to me that the two beasts keeping me at bay that are right up there, I should probably make a play for them.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It came to me in a dream.
I only came to this conclusion because I'm sad and want a girlfriend.
Yes.
I can't date Blix.
I can't listen to my Chemical Romance albums anymore. I must take action. So they need to be baited with innocence, right? So hence Mia Sara's character, Lily. We cut to Lily. She's in the forest. She goes to her friend, Nell, who's like, I'm too poor to be friends with you. You should be with your rich friends.
My lady.
No, Nell, you're cool. No, I'm poor.
I'm really not.
I live in the forest.
I'm by myself.
I have no running water. And at some point, I think I'll probably get frozen and everyone will forget about me. And I don't know what happens to me. By the way, what happens to Nell?
What happens to Nell? What happens to Blix? There's a lot of question marks.
They fuck her whole house up and then it's it. It's all we get. And I like to think she's still frozen in there. She needs a kiss.
Bye, Nell.
But Nell tells her, as you go into the forest, you're not just like making out with some Link-like dude, are you? From that Zelda game?
It's funny you say that. There was a rumor that's saying that this movie inspired the creation of The Legend of Zelda.
100% because Una is just Navi.
Right. Hey, listen. Be my boyfriend.
But Nell's like, watch out for Spriggan and Banshee. Whatever that is.
I'm going to say that to people anytime they leave my house now.
Watch out for Spriggan and Banshee.
Watch out for Spriggan and Banshee. All right.
She's out there looking for Jack. And then Jack pops out. And she's like, God damn it, Jack. You scared me. Why are you wearing those ridiculous booty shorts? I was practicing my twerking.
He does something. I forget what he does. Is he just like talking to a bird or something? And she goes, you're so clever.
Well, like, it's not the bird thing yet. It's right after the scare. She goes, you're so clever. And then he's doing the brr, brr. Dude, it's so fun. I love this movie. The goblins are just watching while they're making out in the American cut. And he's just,
do you think they'll go to third base?
And then it cuts to him. He's just like holding a fox to show how pure hearted he is, that a fox would just chill with him.
This episode was sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, it's 2024. What does everybody do in the new year? They make resolutions. They set goals. How about we don't do that? I mean, you can. It's obviously nice to have goals, but it's also a good exercise to focus on things that you like about yourself. You know, not making all those high pressure goals that you might fail at and just feel worse. You can set smaller goals. And I think therapy can be a good way to access things that you enjoy about your life and focusing on the positive, the gratitude. And BetterHelp is a good way to do that. If you've never given BetterHelp a try, it's therapy that's entirely online. You can do it all from your home and access a therapist by filling out a questionnaire. And if you end up not liking that therapist, you can switch. Again, along with the theme of this ad, no pressure whatsoever. They're not going to have their feelings hurt by it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
It's the month of February, so you know what time it is. It's time to thank our patrons. Every single one of you that helps keep the lights on at Streaming Things, thank you so much. But we want to give a special shout out to our super patrons, and here they are. Thank you to Stanton Valentino, Mattelstat, Bryce Coppin, Susie Callahan, Anthony Corona, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Ashley Hazen, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Will Tickler, Svento 7, Jay Scramo, Bluff Pum, aka Ashley Ray, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big Butthorn, Conrad, Kaylee Sampson, Rabid Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Peaches, Emmy, Haley B, Joe Velez, Michelle, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sun Loving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Ashley Powers, Stephen the Fifth, Casey McCain, and of course, Enza. And with that, let's get back to the show.
But then he blindfolds her and takes her to see the unicorns. And I put Ridley must have loved unicorns because, again, this is right after Blade Runner. And in certain cuts, there's a lot of unicorn action. But he says, as long as they roam the earth, evil can never harm the pure of heart. But I'm sure nothing bad will happen to them. And then he's like, Lily, no. But he doesn't try very hard to stop her or explain why. And it's maddening. It is.
Yeah, because she, Lily, as far as she knows, it's like, oh beautiful horses. I want to pet that.
Nay, bitch. Yeah.
Yeah, come here. I got an apple.
I ride horses all the time because I'm rich and I have many of them.
Yeah, and she's obviously a princess. She has many of those things. She just wants to pet a horse. What's wrong with it?
But Blix is loading that poison dart, and we're supposed to understand that he only got the shot because they were distracted by Lily. And then
I have to shoot those ugly one-horned mules.
I love that Jack just leaves. He's like, Lily, Lily, this bitch.
This and bitch. Leave. I can't get through to her. I don't know what I'm so calling out her name.
He's like just so disgusted. He can't witness the end of the fucking world happening.
Well, there's this weird thing. So this is another, I'm going to go back to these different versions as we go through this, but in the American version, like it's, you know, Lily's innocent, right? She just wants to pet a horse. What's the big fucking deal? No one's told her what the rules are.
Yeah, they're being lured by
and innocence. Then like when she's talking to the darkness, he's like, your sin made this all possible. And it's like, she didn't really do anything. Whereas in the European cut, it's much more clear because he tells her like, Lily, don't go. And she turns back and looks at him, but her look is like, I'm fucking.
Oh, she's more mischievous about it.
Yeah, she's way more mischievous about it.
It's an editing issue.
So there's a character arc for her. Mm-hmm. There's also a character arc for Tom Cruise's character, Jack, whereas he doesn't understand what weapons or fighting is. So that when he has to do this, he's also changing as well in not a great way. So it's kind of a sad story for him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, it's weird that they cut this out.
Because he loses his innocence in order to be the hero.
Yeah.
And she gains some give a fuck.
Yeah.
Because she's just like a silly little rich girl.
Right.
I just have to make out. And
I just want to make out in the woods with my boyfriend.
And get pets. I'm like one of them guys that would have like a tiger for a pet. That'd be me.
You're the Tiger King?
No, I'm not that guy.
Goddamn Carol Baskins is killing the unicorns.
I'm gay. I'm broke as shit. I will never financially recover from this.
Oh my God. I do love that shot of her reaching her hand out to pet the unicorn. I think that's like a beautiful fantasy shot.
Yeah. Great. And the unicorns look dope in this.
Yeah, they do.
But then they shoot the fucking unicorn. And Jack tells her like, hey, what you did is forbidden.
It is known.
It is known.
Is it? It's not known to her. Mm-hmm. You didn't tell her.
It is known. That's a Game of Thrones line.
You risk your immortal soul.
That's what Miss Indy says. And she's like, whatever. I will marry whoever finds this ring. And
yeah. Just a, hey, apropos of nothing.
And then she throws it off the cliff and he just jumps right after it like, oh my God, I want that.
I want it so bad.
And she goes, which is kind of a wild reaction.
Jack!
That he just jumped after the ring that
I
you said he should go.
Jump after it.
Oh my God.
Fuck.
But I think it's also that like, because the unicorn is being slaughtered elsewhere, that the you know, everyone can feel these vibes and it's just not good, you know, in general. I think that's part of her reaction there, but it's funny. Again, probably the edit. I like that I love this movie and there's a way better version out there that I could watch. I'm going to love that.
You're going to love it even more.
So the lake freezes over while they swim around looking for the ring. And it's I think it's really cool effect. Like after they slice the unicorn horn off, he's like trapped in this frozen lake and bursts through the ice into this frozen hellscape. And Lily returns to find Nell frozen. The goblins roll up. She hides. And they're like, where's that girl? I want to eat her brains and suck her bones.
And then, Blix has these two other little goblin buddies.
It's Blunder and I don't know the pig guy's name.
Screwball? Or no, Screwball.
It turns out Blunder's just like a fucking elf with a hat on that's been hiding with the devil for some reason. I don't understand why.
I don't know what that's about.
But Lily's like, Lily's whole motivation is that she feels guilty and she wants to make it right. And Jack is still out running around screaming for Lily like Joyce Byers looking for Will.
Where's my Lil?
Lil?
Will? Will?
And then Una flies up while he's seeping in the snow. And I was like, Link and Navi?
Hey, listen.
And the Gump rolls up.
The Gump.
Kin to Forrest, I would think. Can you imagine Forrest Gump? He's in a forest.
I mean, this is his ancestor. Yeah. Yeah.
Jack.
It's strange that, again, that
Did Alice, you let that bitch touch the unicorn?
You shouldn't have done that.
That's all I have to say about that. That'd be a much better movie.
Oh my God. Alex in the Discord posted a meme of Grover from Sesame Street freaking out. It's like, you touched the unicorn horn! And that's all I could think about in the scene. But I do hate it how...
His name is Honeythorn Gump, by the way.
Mm, it's a great name.
Not Forrest.
Honeythorn is great. I do hate it that Alice Platon, who plays Blix, also voices Gump.
You said that, but I never noticed that at any point.
Oh, it's the same fucking voice. Like, it's like,
if Blix talks like this, my lord, Gump talks like this, Jack.
Like, it's just a little dialed down. I just thought
all the woodland creatures have, like, they smoke two packs of Newports every day. And I was like, done, moving on.
That would be way better if Gump.
Jack.
If the Gump is just, like, popping cigs the whole time, just ripping butts this entire movie.
I told you, you're putting the pussy on a pedestal, Jack. You shouldn't let it touch the unicorn.
I mean, they do take shots when they're like, oh, you love this girl?
Oh, screwball, get the 40s.
Let's do it.
We're gonna toast love.
Let's do a shot. Let's do a shot. I used to know this fucking guy named Blunder, which you could tell, always fucking up.
He always fucking up. It's in his name.
I sent him down to his tree hole and I said, hey, there's... I couldn't even do it. He's just been down there hanging out with the devil.
This fucking idiot, this fucking guy, he hates it. He fucking hates it. But he's too far in.
Yeah, he can't climb out.
He can't climb out now.
I could help him, but I think it's funny.
It's really fucking funny.
Anyway, nothing bad could happen from that.
Fucking Una, get over here.
You better not have a body.
You better not be a real lady and not just a speck of light that flies around that will really grind my gears.
If it turns out you're a hot chick, I swear to God.
I will disfriend anyone you tell your secret to. It's kind of weird I'm like this.
Yeah, so all the forest creatures, I guess they're elves. They're angry about the unicorns, but then all of a sudden they're like, oh, for love. In that case, let's do shots of elderberry wine.
Elderberry wine. Brown Tom is like, always the guy you want for a good hookup of elderberry wine. You can call it Brown Tom.
Keep it on his head, man.
I've also got some heroin.
You want to roll?
So there's like bubbles flying around and shit.
I love how there's always bullshit floating around, no matter where they are.
It's a floaty place.
Is it dandelions? Is it bubbles? Mm-mm. Is it rain? Is it snow? I love shit just flying around constantly. It had to be a nightmare to film. But after they do the toast, Jack's like, please, hey man, please forgive me. I didn't know my girl would go off script like that.
And what's really funny to me is they do the shots and stuff. And they're like, we support you. And we think it's wonderful that you found somebody. But then, like, I think it's Screwball that's like, but not looking good. Lily's probably dead.
Yeah.
And like, he just says it so cavalierly after they all do the shots and shit. They could have been like a little more in a hurry to save her and help her or anything. But he's like, we all have to entertain the possibility that Lily is dead, you know? And Jack's like, what?
Classic Screwball.
It's Screwball. Or what's the other guy's name? It's Screwball and
Brown Tom.
Brown Tom.
Yeah, Brown Tom. He's got the hookup.
Brown Tom.
He knows where to get elderberry wine.
He does. And then there's more screaming for Lily. They find the other unicorn kind of like weeping over his friend, which is weird because all they've ever known is love and laughter.
It's learning.
And he's
sadness.
Like, forgive me, horse with horn. And he says, we're cursed, right? We must get the alicorn back. What's an alicorn?
I think that's the horn.
Obviously, but like, have you ever heard the term alicorn?
No.
Me neither.
No, I've never heard that. I like it. I think it's cool sounding.
We need a champion. Who's going to fight?
And who is of hot and brave? Who's brave and who is bold of hot and brave in spirits? I am fired. That was terrible.
Low and ball hang and wide and dick swing. And Jack's just looking around like, I don't know anybody like that.
Probably Brown Tom.
And they're like, we choose you, Jack. And he's like, man, I don't know how to fight. And they're like, we'll get you some weapons.
That's all you need.
Una knows where a bunch of weapons are. So he follows Una to her little treasure trove.
This broad knows where all the good shit is.
So I tell you what, you send her out, she'll come back with it. That's where Brown Tom gets his elderberry wine.
Is this a get?
Hold it sideways and fire when ready. Brown Tom is left charged with guarding the unicorn. He goes to the treasure hole, which is like right over there with Una. And he finds like a gold sword and some gold armor. And she turns into like a woman fairy. And she's like, don't tell Gump.
The look on his face is so appropriate. Jack just gives her this look like, okay.
Why? And she, because I want you. And then Blix is drunk on power. He's got this fucking elder wand of an alicorn.
The power of the alicorn.
And I love the petty shit that Blix does, but like, I'll just blow up this.
Yeah, that's what all of us would be like if we found that horn.
Yeah.
Pippin, you're done.
What's the Pippin?
Why would you do that?
I would stop catching strays. Just let me lick my crotch in peace.
This is what Daddy does. Blunder tries to basically overthrow darkness, like as soon as he comes to get the wand.
Yeah.
Blix has brains enough to be like, oop, I was just fucking around. But Blunder's like, your reign of terror is over. Well, we find out later he's actually an elf. And yeah,
that's why he did it.
He's just been hanging out with the wrong crowd.
This fucking guy thought he could take out darkness with a horn.
That's why we call him Blunder.
Holy shit. We drained him wrong as a joke.
I love it. He literally actually goes, shit. As soon as he takes the horn from him and he chucks him down a hole and he tells the other two, did you get them both? They admit that they did not get the mare. If females can bear children, we can have more unicorns than you can muster a stick at.
I do like that line where Blix is like, but my lord, a female has no power. And he's like, only the power of creation.
Yeah, you idiot.
Fucking darkness is woke, man. I love this shit.
Lily finds the mayor and Brown Tom and he goes, dig a Tuesday's duck. That's his expletive. Did you not notice that?
I did not write
that. Because that is like rattling your dags good.
What was it?
Dick a Tuesday's duck.
Dick a Tuesday's duck.
I don't know if it means dick that duck down on a Tuesday or what.
Dick a Tuesday's on a duck.
Or the duck's dick on a Tuesday. I don't know, but he says, dick a Tuesday's duck. they get accosted by arrow shooting goblins who aren't tall enough to even like barely stick out of the snow.
I did like that.
That's really funny. And Brown Tom does a good job of dodging those arrows at first with that frying pan.
Yeah, he's like deflecting and shit.
Then he gets shot right in the elderberry wine. And
boom, headshot.
Gets taken out. And then they take the mare instead of killing it, which is kind of weird, and Lily, which makes sense. And then they end up.
Yeah, why don't they kill it?
There's no explanation for why they chain that mare up and James Bond it for an hour and let everybody rescue it instead of. I mean, I understand like the whole thing is that it's whether you buy it or not, it's a different story. But darkness is just kind of smitten by Lily. And that's why he's distracted. But why then and there they don't just kill it, why they bring it back to the lair at all. I have no idea.
Yeah. OK.
And we end up having to go to Ye Old Sacrifice Tree, which is like this area, because they find out, you know, the mayor's been taken, Lily's gone. They find out Tom's alive. But they go to the sacrifice tree eons ago. They used to just kill people there. And that's like the tunnel into darkness's lair. Mm-hmm. And there's this fucking crazy ass thing. Meg Mucklebone pops up.
Dude, Meg Mucklebone's played by Robert Picardo.
I know, it's a dude.
Yeah, that's a Star Trek guy.
Oh, is it?
He's the doctor on Voyager. He's one of the best Star Trek characters ever. I fucking love him so much.
He does great as Meg Mucklebone.
He's going all in on Meg Mucklebones. I wish Meg was in it a little bit more because it's just a fun little character. It's a quick character thing.
Yeah. Yeah, she's so terrifying. And Jack's like, doesn't want to hurt her.
I love how
she's like, you're going to eat me?
I'm going to eat you. And he's like, you don't really mean to eat me,
man. For realsies?
Like, oh, I'm going to eat you so good.
Hold up. You mean like my ass or like.
I'm going to bite it.
Or like kill me because one of those things I'm not opposed to. Kill you. Oh, then I have to kill you.
Oh, damn it.
Never mind. So he slices her and he's like, I did it. Look what I can do. Lily's in hell, basically. She's in the dungeon place. Jack and the boys fall down into there. They meet Blunder, and that's the path into like the dungeons, basically, that they fell down into where he was thrown. So they're in separate cells. He's an elf dude, I guess. There's a demon coming.
Yeah, he's like Screwball's brother or something.
Oh, my God.
Brother.
Blunder.
Brother.
That was you in the crazy hat? Yeah, I've been helping demons raise hell. I killed a unicorn. I saw that.
You fucking idiot. We're in here because of you, but we yelled at Jack for like an hour.
Yeah. Oh, my, I can't believe you were killing unicorns. The big demon guy is cool. They're scary. The two like big twin guys.
All the like Resident Evil villains. Yeah. Like the sub bosses from Resident Evil.
They get Blunder. And I said, oh, it's the guys who perpetually stab people because I think it's them. They're like, meh, meh. And then Jack snitches on Una immediately. He's like, if only we could find someone to fly out of here and get us a key. But Una could never lift it. She's actually like a woman. Jack!
What the fuck?
I told you.
Wait a minute. I told you first off when we started hanging out, you better not be a real Goyle.
Yeah, Goyle. I'll soak you right now.
I'll soak you.
And then she's like, kiss me, Jack. Why? I like you, Jack. She becomes Lily to make it easier, but it still doesn't work. Mm. Humans don't work that way. No. We know when fairies are just becoming me or Sarah.
Oh, humans do not work like that.
So she flies off crying. And then Gump's kind of like, all you had to do was kiss her.
Fucking women.
We could have gotten out of here, but you really bitched out there, Jack. So then they escape just somehow on their own anyway, randomly. And then they split up. And I love that for no reason.
Well, Una got the keys. Yeah.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, Una did go get the keys.
So they split up and then the two elves are like it's Brown Tom and Screwball are like, we want Jack.
We want to go Jack.
And then Jack is so mean to be like Gump. Because who can also kind of take care of himself? You know what I mean? Yeah.
So like, let's put the two dudes that have zero fighting capabilities.
Why would you do that? I get it. I don't want to be with those two either, but
we want you both dead.
Be careful. That's what he says.
Yeah.
And then Darkness is talking to Daddy.
Daddy.
Daddy, I like a girl.
Daddy.
And I love that the devil responds and he's like,
woo her.
Yes, you must take her out to dinner. Be very nice to her.
Make sure you pay.
Tell her her hair looks nice.
Hold the door for her when you go into places.
I'm tired of you being alone.
I need you to move out.
I need grass.
Your mother and I want to have the nest to ourselves again.
Dress her up all goth and cool and just hang out. It'll be fine. Okay, Daddy, I'll try.
Show her like a bunch of jewels. Bitches love jewelry.
They love it. Una and Lily are both just frolicking through this little dungeon area. And Una's watching her, I assume out of like jealousy. It's when Gump gets attacked by those things and he's like, and just runs away. They're just a bunch of cats, a bunch of stray cats in an alley. The unicorn is alive there for some reason. We talked about that earlier. And Lily is being wooed and charmed, seduced even. Mm. That's what he told her. She's got pretty trinkets and necklaces. And then she just goes full goth mode. And he's like, yes, that is the outfit I like.
So this scene where she's dancing with her goth outfit, mm-hmm. which is a great scene. I love it. This movie was originally scored by, is it Jeff Goldsmith?
That's what you said.
Yeah. Jerry Goldsmith. I'm sorry. Jerry Goldsmith. He is the composer of movies like Alien, Planet of the Apes, The Omen, the original Star Trek movie. So he was the original person who scored the movie. He had a very particular style. And so after that failed test screening that I mentioned earlier, they were like, okay, how can we change the vibe of this movie? What's the cheapest thing we can do? We replace the composer, right? So they got a new composer and they hired Tangerine Dream, Electronica's own Tangerine Dream. Did you like the score of Tangerine Dream? That's the one that's in the US version.
No.
You didn't like the score at all?
I didn't love it.
Okay. I don't hate it, but I also don't love it. For the dance scene, I have with me the two different songs. So Jerry Goldsmith's score is still in the European cut. So they released both movies, and they both have two different scores.
Interesting. I really got to see this European version.
So this is the Tangerine Dream version of the dancing with her.
Yeah, the one
dress.
I saw.
Yeah. So here's this.
And this is when the little creature is tricking her before she's goth mode, right? When it's dancing for her.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a little like carousel music boxy mm-hmm. sounding, all right? This is the Jerry Goldsmith version of the same scene. So this week for Patreon, we've been watching Black Swan mm-hmm. and the Jerry Goldsmith version really gives me some huge Black Swan vibes, which I think is cool. Like when you see that with the visuals of the dress spinning around,
picturing it.
it's really effective.
It's great and chaotic, a little scary, which is what it's intended to be, right?
Yeah, and Ridley Scott has gone on record saying that he thinks the Jerry Goldsmith score is like the score that he
what
should
does
have
he
stuck
know?
With. Yeah, what does he know? He can't even make a cut of a movie.
Yeah, I wish I'd watched the European version, if I'm being honest. But she does get successfully kind of wooed. She passes out when darkness comes out, though, as soon as she gets darkness. Happy. And then when she wakes up immediately and he's like, "We're all animals, my lady. We should do it like we do on the Discovery Channel. You and me ain't nothing but mammals."
What's Bloodhound Gang? Is that mm-hmm. band? Yeah.
Yeah. Jack can kind of hear the laughter. He goes to see Lily in like her like goth mode, kind of being nice to the devil. And he's like, "Oh, man." Dang.
Dang. I wanted to do that.
And that's when he gets the idea to reflect light down there because he hears darkness say, "Nobody reflect light on me, please." Basically.
Hey, we should get a bunch of mirrors.
Well, he remembers this moment in the forest with Lily where she had like a shiny thing and it reflected light. He's like, "Wait. Metal does that to light."
Whoa.
I can recall.
Yeah.
So we cut to Screwball and Brown Tom are still just kind of fucking around. But they did find the mayor. They tell Gump they found him. And then Jack's plan commences. They save Blunder from a pie.
Yeah, they're going to put Blunder in a pot pie.
Yeah.
A Blunder pot pie.
"You better fucking be quiet, but we're saving your ass." And no sound. And then he's immediately like, "Thank you." It's so annoying.
You can't ever ask a Muppet person to be quiet. "Thank you so much." They have that energy. You can't dumb that down.
Then they grab a bunch of platters while the demons are sleeping quietly until the one. And they just make so much noise and they wake up the demons and end up having to fight them. But Jack beats their asses. And then Screwball's like, "I'll climb up there," this giant thing. I'm like, that's not going to go well. Yeah, very brave.
"You have my axe."
Darkness wants her to just sit and talk with me. And then she's like, "No." And he goes, "Silence." Good marriage.
"You've stolen my dreams away. Ah, the dreams of youth are the regrets of maturity."
I love how he gets like real with her. "Seriously, though, life will eventually suck. Yeah. You might as well marry the devil.
I mean, isn't that what marriage is, really, when you think about it? It's just two people giving up on their dreams together."
And she's like, "You will eventually marry the son of the puppet guy. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, clearly I'm in your wheelhouse. Look at me."
Jack and the elves are setting up the reflectors. And while he's doing that, darkness like magically fills a giant fucking glass of wine for her. Get a little tipsy. And I think with this conversation, we'll go
That's
better.
That's a fucking fishbowl.
It's wild.
Because it's a darkness size chalice.
He's like,
and he fills it to the top.
It's elderberry wine and Rufalin.
Jesus.
Sorry.
Fuck.
He's the devil.
That's true.
And then
puts me right out.
But then she tricks him. She's like, "I want to kill the unicorn." And he's like, "I love it when my bitches kill unicorns."
I love that face he makes when he's so happy because he just like bares his teeth.
Yeah, he's doing the most with that makeup.
Love it.
And it was worth every bit of his pain.
I know.
Because it rocks.
Tim Curry is such a fucking treasure.
The door closes before they can shine the light on darkness. And so they end up sneaking in there, Gump and Jack, without doing the light thingy. And they see Lily about to kill a unicorn. And this scene is
Jack, judge Lily with your heart, not your eyes.
Actually, fucking kill her. It's such like it's got to be the editing, but it's dumb.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that talks Jack out of it. And then he's like, "Seriously, I was kidding. Bros before hoes.
Kill her."
But
bury like, the ground.
It's a callback to the end, the beginning, where she said, "Don't you trust me, Jack?" He's like, "I trust you, Lily.
I trust you."
So he shoots darkness, and then he swings down and immediately gets handled by the giant devil man. And then Una's up there trying to wake Screwball's dumbass, and he loses the fight with darkness, but eventually finds the unicorn horn and doesn't do any magic though. It just stabs him with it.
That's gotta hurt.
Then the light bursts, fucking knocks the door down.
Daddy, daddy, protect me.
What is like without the dark? Which is, he's correct, because the beginnings, Crawl said it's a matter of balance, mm-hmm. not defeating. And yet the movie commences to, they just defeat him. But yeah, then we find out she's under a spell after they beat Darkness, and he has to go find her ring, and gives her a little smoochy smooch. They put the horn back on, then the unicorn wakes up now that it's got its horn. That's cool.
Yeah, and they're buddies. They're like, yay, we're horses. Winnie.
Nobody touch on.
Seriously, bitch, get away from us.
Well, I love that all the elves and Gumper are hanging out with them at the end, but it's like, they're mortal. They're not allowed to touch them either. They're not. We're not going to touch.
We're not going to touch.
We're just looking. We're just looking at it. It's Alicorn.
You can look, but you can't touch.
Got some popsicles in my basement.
Yeah, I have a note that Darkness gives one last laugh to imply that he's still out there. Because what is light without darkness? And also, what the fuck happened to Blix? That's a character that just disappears.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to Blix?
Is there a word on what happens in the European version?
If there is, I didn't find it. I honestly didn't look too hard.
I'm thinking, yeah, fuck Blix.
Just fucking disappears.
We can just assume he's got a new boss somewhere. He's got to find a new boss.
I work at the postal service maybe, now, my lord.
Maybe he hanging out with Blunder got him a job. You know what I mean? Because they accepted Blunder back. Blix. This is my buddy Blix. He's apparently he's a mean goblin.
So according to the villains wiki, Blix from Legend, Lily ran away. Ran to try and protect the mare, finding her guarded by an elf named Brown Tom. Just then, the goblins appear, and they seemingly kill Brown Tom, then capture both Lily and the mare and took them back to the Great Tree. Blix's fate following this is unknown, as neither he nor Pox, the other goblin, ever reappear.
Well, I found this website called Figment Fly, where it supposedly has the script. Apparently, there was a whole big scene where it was like, Mother of Shadows, renew us, and like... Dream Sister, eclipse our pain. Night Bride, restore our strength. And like a ceremony to killing the mayor that was cut out.
Yeah, we need to see. We need to see the special edition or this director's cut. I feel like there's a lot. There's a lot of context we're missing for the story. And I want. And I like the story enough, and I like the movie enough that I want to like see the real version of it, the true version.
This is from screenwriter William Schwartzberg, who said, as for Blix and Pox, they weren't even in the script until sometime around draft 7 or so. However, in my copy of the shooting script, I find them cowering behind a fallen column after the sunlight blasts Darkness. Pox asks if they should help. Blix says, in effect, don't be a fool. We'll stay here where we are safe. That's the last we see of them. Don't know if this was ever filmed.
Oh, okay.
So,
I mean, that's in line with those characters, because Blix was a little like, I've got the power.
Yeah, he was a little not.
He reminds me.
He wasn't loyal.
He reminds me of Starscream from the Transformers cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he's like, I love you, my lord. I fucking hate him. Let's betray him.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, he's here. Sorry, I love you.
Put yourself in a cup, my lord. I like Legend. Everybody can suck it. And I can't wait to watch the European version. That would be even better, like Steve said. But I appreciate you for choosing this film. I respect all of your opinions for thinking it's a little rough. I know that Casey stood up for it. Somebody was like, honestly, Kung Pao shits on this.
I mean, that's a wrong opinion. I don't know who said that. That's wrong.
Me looking at you if you're listening. I'm not going to snitch you. I'm not like Jack. You're my Una. I'm not going to tell Steve. He's one of the Scramos.
What do snitches get, Chris?
Stitches. But thank you guys for listening. Stay tuned for our Star Wars coverage that's coming out in the next few weeks. Black Swan's on the Patreon. Next week, I don't remember, but some bangers are coming for sure.
Yeah, next week is Star Wars Empire Strikes Back.
That's
on
for sure.
Monday, Grand Budapest Hotel on Wednesday, and Spirited Away on Friday.
Damn. Masterpieses all around?
No, maybe.
Think so.
Yeah.
I think so. That's all the time we have for right now. We've got to go return some videotapes. 1985's Legend is due back at Blockbuster.
It's been a minute. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some late fees.
But we're going to miss you. And my name is Kit.
And I'm Steve.
And this was Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.